You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
This is another episode of To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me as he is every single week is...
Tristan Riddell.
And we are here in the writer's room of TTJ this week, because as we prefaced, we were going to write an episode on the fly. We're going to come through with that promise. For those of you who actually voted in the very few short days that we gave you to suggest the main character of which we're going to write this episode, thank you for doing so. We still got some votes in, and we had a front runner. And that person is Kes.
So at the time of this recording, the front runner is Kes. So if you, by the time this gets released and it's somebody else, and you guys are like, this is BS. Like, they didn't tally the votes.
Yeah, we didn't rig it. We're going by what happened as of this moment right here.
This moment right now, right here, right here, right now. Now, I am thoroughly surprised. I am utterly and thoroughly surprised Kes got the votes. Yes.
Why is that?
Aren't you? I mean, Kes is Kes. You know, it's just, Kes is
You're
very
indifference
much a side
toward
character.
Kes.
What'd you say?
Your indifference toward Kes.
I guess that's a good word for it, because she's a lovely being and she has a very soulful presence and I enjoy her episodes, but they're not, she doesn't really evoke great, strong feelings from me.
Yeah,
and
I'm
not trying to criticize her. I'm definitely not criticizing Jennifer Lean. I think she did a great representation of the character. I think she had some great episodes, but there was just that je ne sais quoi that did not make me fall in love with her like I did with
Bolana
Chakotay or Seven or B'Elanna. Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know. I mean, we all have our favorites and we all have our least favorites, but I've said many times before that Kes is my least favorite, but I still love her to death.
Maybe that is why the listeners picked Kes, because they know that Kes is your least favorite, and therefore they kind of are picking on you a little bit, like, haha, I'm going to make you do a Kes story, neener, neener.
Just to screw with me.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, that's what we get for putting it out there, and so we put out the call, they answered, and now we've got to follow through with it. Although, we do have to mention, some people suggested doing a Lower Decks or a minor character kind of an episode, and we were thinking a main character, guys, so sorry, we aren't going to do that, but for the future, that might be something to consider. Let's put it in the bank.
And we don't want you to think that we're discounting your votes or thinking that it wasn't a good idea, because it is a good idea. We'd love to do a Lower Decks episode sometime in the future, and we've kind of teased the idea and toyed with the idea in the past a little bit. We did a rewrite of an episode where we brought Lower Deck people to the forefront, where they were kind of like battling to get the ship back with Chakotay.
That's right.
What was the name of that episode?
I think you're thinking of Displaced.
Yes, that's it. Displaced. It was Displaced. Yeah, Chakotay was the only one left on board.
Right.
And
yes,
he had to bring the crew, like he had to bring the Lower Decks crew up, and it was their moment to shine. So we did something like that, but we could do a lot more with it.
So we're
definitely going to do that.
Yeah, definitely in the future. I think there's a lot of people that we could focus on that would be a lot of fun. We could do a Samantha Wildman story. We had a nomination for Lieutenant Ayala. I think that was Susan Abbott. You know, there are definitely options out there. So that one's in the bank for sure. We will do that at some point. But today, it's all about Kes. And so first things first concluded in the writer's room. We have decided on the character, or rather it's been decided for us. And the next thing that we have to do now is decide what time frame we're looking at here. Now, this is kind of a unique thing because she was only around for the first three seasons. We are not necessarily limited to that. Although I kind of feel like maybe we should be.
I am in agreement there.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with canon. I don't want to totally rewrite the show, and I don't want to do anything as a continuation of maybe like Fury or something like that, because we already rewrote Fury, and I don't like that episode anyway. And so let's stick with seasons 1 through 3.
I think so. So we have seasons 1 through 3. We have season 1 where it's the introduction of cast. Everybody's getting to know everybody else. And season 3 is where, you know, basically, you know, like towards the end, she's getting ready to leave. And we have great episodes like Warlord and
Before and After.
Darkling, right?
Well, she was in there, but that was more of a Doctor episode.
Yeah, it was heavily focused on her. Yeah, we had Before and After. Yeah, like you said, Before and After, that's a huge one in season 3. I'm trying to think of season 2. Like, she had Elogium. That was her big one.
Yes, yes.
Cold Fire, of course.
Uh-huh. Which we've also rewritten.
That's right. We rewrote that. And that was pretty much it for her in season 2.
Twisted was not heavily focused on her, but it was her birthday on the holodeck, and we've talked about that. It was her birthday,
yeah.
And then there is, of course, the whole thing where Neelix was jealous of Tom Paris, possibly being interested in Kes, and there was a spaghetti fight in Parturition. So it's not like she was completely ignored, but she was in the background a lot, I feel like, in season 2.
She, as I'm going through the episodes right now, you're right. She was in the background a lot. She only had 2 episodes that were about her in season 2. But in season 1, now granted it was a shorter season, only 16 episodes, there were no episodes in season 1 where she was the focus. So maybe we should explore that. Maybe that would be interesting. Like, her acclimating to the ship where, I mean, this is a person who, you know, who didn't see the sunlight for a big portion of her life. And now she's on a starship.
Yes.
You know, what would that be like? I mean, she's a curious by nature. She wants to be a traveler, and now she finally is a traveler. So we didn't really address that too terribly much. You know what I mean?
It's true. Like, Kes was never homesick or anything like that, or she wasn't experiencing massive culture shock. I mean, she is a very open-minded person, certainly so than Okampans in general. But you would think there'd be something out there where maybe we could totally freak her out.
So do you want to do season 1? Do you want to...
I'm thinking like more toward like the end of season 1, because there's very little Kes toward the end of season 1. You know, time and again is when we discover her telepathic abilities. And then she's kind of scattered throughout mid-season 1 a little bit, but toward the end there, what's she doing? We got to figure this out. So that's what I'm shooting for. How about that?
Okay. So, end of season 1, beginning of season 2, somewhere around in there.
Yeah, let's do that. Saying. Sure.
All right. Okay, so we have our proverbial whiteboard up and like squeaky, 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 squeaky.
Yeah, we're erasing it.
Wiping down. So, we got Kes, end of season 1, beginning of season 2. She is the protagonist. And here we go.
Boom.
All right.
So, there's a few things that we know about Kes. Her telepathic abilities.
Right.
She has an incredible brain that absorbs knowledge like a little sponge. I mean, if you think about how she absorbed the medical text that the doctor was giving her, we'd explore something like that. I mean, we never totally got a big update on how she was doing with her medical training. I mean, we just assume essentially she has the knowledge of a nurse.
Right.
What if something happens where she's under some pressure and... maybe she doesn't know everything, or maybe she has to improvise, or I'm not sure.
Now, we did talk about, we did toy with an idea. This might not be appropriate for end of season 1, beginning of season 2. But maybe, where we toy with the idea, like, what if 7 of 9 didn't come on, and what would happen to Jennifer Lean's character if she was on Voyager longer or something like that. And I think I had an idea where... what if the doctor went offline for some odd reason and Kes was the only medical professional on the ship?
Ooh.
And with her limited training, she had to do something to someone where she had to operate on someone and she had very limited knowledge. And Jane was just like, you have to, you're the only one who could perform the surgery. She's like, I've never performed surgery before, but we don't have our doctor, Kes.
I love it. Okay, let's say maybe Voyager has gotten into a battle, I don't know, with the Vidians or with the Kazon or something, and the ship is damaged just enough and in just the right place to put the Doctor offline, and somebody's hurt and she is elected. She has to do something. So are we going to explore the repercussions of that? Is this going to be the focus of the story?
I don't think we have to see the repercussions of that. I think that's the main story, but we have to figure out how we're going to get there. I think that's going to be the climax. That doesn't necessarily have to be the climax. The climax is her performing the procedure and performing it successfully, obviously. But we'll have to, I'd say, okay, so if TV is a five-act structure, we'll have to introduce this problem pretty early on, around act two, maybe somewhere around, or act three, where someone is hurt. You know, like someone is hurt, but they're not. It's not an ER situation where like they're wheeling someone in and they're all bloody and broken and they're like, Kes, you have to do something right now or this person's going to have to die, or this not going to have to, like this person's going to die. And I think it has to be much more of a disease type situation where they hit their head and it's kind of like it's a slow burn of an episode where,
okay, someone's in a coma.
Yeah. Someone's in a coma. They need a surgery, you know, something like that.
Yeah, okay. Something happens, I think, where somebody goes into the coma toward the beginning of the episode, and it can just be any character, whoever. Lieutenant Ayala. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's him.
I think it needs to be... my gut reaction is Harry, because, you know, why not?
Harry the whipping boy, once again, is going to get injured. Oh, why not? Let's just do it. It's Harry.
Or we could add some dynamic to it, and it's Tom, where like Tom, the guy who had two biology courses at the field medic, where like he can't even help out, and
yeah,
like we get Neelix's green monster to come out or something like that. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, the jealousy element was so overdone in season two. I really don't know if I want to go there. Because what I would rather do is just rewrite it if we were going to be going down that route and do it better than what we got on the actual show. But that's not quite what we're doing with the writer's room. Like, we're just, I don't know. I feel like when we do this, we write episodes that would fit in the canon.
Yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely right.
We're not changing it.
And both you and I did not like the jealousy angle, so I don't even know why I brought it up. So let's not do that.
So let's not say we did.
Let's do Harry. Let's say Harry's in a coma.
Okay. Unless you really wanted to go make everybody bonkers, and it could be Captain Janeway, potentially.
I feel like, I thought of that just now, but the thing is, though, that might be pushing the limits a bit too much.
Is that too drastic?
I feel like it's too drastic. Maybe Harry's too low, and maybe Janeway's too high. You know, like, because...
Tuvok. It's Tuvok.
Ooh, that's such a good idea. That's such a good idea, because...
Kes and Tuvok are so close. She's gonna be emotionally attached to him, and maybe that has an element of... her resistance, her reluctance, and her contemplativeness toward performing this procedure she may or may not be able to successfully do. She could potentially kill him.
That's genius. That's what we're going to go with. Because Chakotay was, like, in the show, was in a coma for already.
Yeah,
B'Elanna had a really risky surgery.
Yeah, she had the weird monster, the plastic thing attached to her.
Yeah, the weird neck monster thing with Cardassian. You had Harry, who had Species 8472, where he was dissolving from the inside.
Poor Harry. Let's give him a break this week.
Yeah, so I think out of all of those characters, once you take the... And, like, obviously Seven's not on, because Kes is there. And Janeway's too drastic, and then that would leave...
That leaves
Tom and Tuvok.
Yeah,
that leaves Tom and Tuvok. So I think let's go with Tuvok. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, just because they are such good friends, emotionally, it's going to have more pull than I would even say with Tom. Mm-hmm. Because they're friends too, but Kes and Tuvok have a different and I would say deeper and more meaningful relationship.
Mentorship kind of thing.
Mentorship, that's the word. You got it. Okay, so the show starts off, they're in battles, you know, pyrotechnics go off on the bridge and something hits Tuvok in the head and... he's not dead, but he's in a coma and the doctor is offline. Kes can stabilize him for the time being. And things are good. And so they're going to try and work to get the doctor online, thinking that eventually he's going to get back and he'll be able to do it. But something's going to have to go very wrong. And Kes is going to end up having to make these decisions. I'd say that twist has to come midway, along with a B plot.
I think the injury happens early on, but the twist happens midway. And I think we need to go back. I think we need to go back to the beginning. I think we need to set the scene.
Okay.
Where, so what's going on here? What's going on? Like, what's the opening? We need to establish that this is a Kes episode. Mm-hmm. And we need to establish that she's the protagonist. And I think so, like, now is she with Tuvok on an away mission? Or does she not have to be with Tuvok when the injury happens? Like,
oh, she doesn't have to be with him, no.
Actually, no, in order for the dock to go offline, it can't be an away mission because it needs to be on the ship. The accident needs to happen on the ship.
Yes.
That it's something so massive.
That's true.
That it goes off. So that's a good point.
Maybe Kes is just talking with somebody for that nice, cute teaser intro. Maybe she's bringing some vegetables from the aeroponics bay over to Neelix or something, and they're just chatting. Like, so, how are things going, and how is your medical training going? That can set the stage. And she said, well, I've learned a lot, but there's still some things that I need to work on, and the doctor is just handing me pad after pad after pad, and at this point, I can't go through them fast enough, but I'm trying. But I'm also busy with the aeroponics bay, and so I feel like I'm becoming useful in multiple ways. You know, she feels very proud of herself for doing all of this, feeling like she has some meaning and can contribute to Voyager. So we're going to see her change a lot. How about that?
I really like that. I really like what you're saying, and I really like your idea. Let's frame it just a little bit more.
Okay.
Let's do this kind of all, not like Data's Day or like in Enterprise, there was a Phlox episode where he was writing a letter.
Oh, Dear Doctor.
Thank you, Dear Doctor. Not like Data's Day or Dear Doctor, but something in the vein of that where Kes is going through her day. We're like, what does Kes do on the ship? What is her day like? And so we see her get up, we see her go, and she does that thing where, like, she goes to the aeroponics bay, she's having a great time, she gets a basket full of vegetables, and she hands it off to Neelix, and she has that conversation with Neelix, and then she goes, okay, well, I gotta go to sick bay and make my rounds there. And so she goes to sick bay, talks with the doctor, has a nice conversation, and then, like, time passes, and she's like, oh, doc, I forgot, I gotta go do this. And then she goes to the bridge, and she talks to Janeway about something, who knows what, but it's just like she's fitting in, she's having a good time, she's being a good person, she's a traveler now. And then we, like, the opening act or the opening teaser kind of ends with her in Tuvok, in Tuvok's quarters, where she's doing her mental exercises.
I mean, really, do Kes and Tuvok have to be together though?
Well, no, I'm not saying like that's when the accident has to happen.
Okay, so why are they having mental exercises in the teaser? Because I feel like we're doing a lot in just the teaser.
We absolutely are doing a lot in the teaser. But it's all really quick conversations where it's just like we show that Kes has grown a lot and she has a lot of responsibilities for being as young as she is and for being on the ship as little as she has.
Okay, and maybe this is a montage. You know, a little bit, like maybe she's doing sort of like she has a log because everybody keeps a log on the ship and she's talking about her day and we see these scenes like she's bringing the vegetables to Neelix and we could cut to that and then we could cut back to the log where she's talking with the doctor and making rounds and saying hi to people or maybe Samantha Wildman's there for a checkup or something. Wait, no, we don't know that yet. Never mind.
But I think that's a great idea. We do something like that. Maybe we do lean more towards the Dear Doctor Data's Day thing where
it's a montage.
Like we have some voiceover. But the reason why I want it to end with Tuvok, at least the teaser with Tuvok, is because the accident doesn't have to happen there, but we need to reinforce their relationship.
Okay,
fair enough. It needs to be reinforced. And so,
okay. Maybe he compliments her.
He compliments her, like saying something, you know, just saying something to the lungs that you've made great strides in this ship. I'm very proud of you. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if Vulcans are proud, but the room shakes and the ship shakes. And it's like, you know, Lieutenant Tuvok, you know, report to the bridge. And he goes, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this short.
Yeah.
And then that's when it goes to the opening title theme, you know.
Okay, fair enough. And then we come back from the opening credits and it's a battle and oh, blah, blah, blah. Those nasty Ks on, they're at it again, trying to steal our technology and just some stupid battle that it doesn't even have to matter. I mean, this is just the catalyst for what really is going to go into the story.
Right. Exactly. Like, let's just say it's the Kazon, you know, so the Kazon, you know, fight and then, you know, like an explosion happens. because apparently Starfleet doesn't believe in circuit breakers. And
yeah, I always kind of wondered about that myself, but I get it for the kind of the showmanship a little bit. You have to have things spark off and catch fire. I get it.
Yeah. You need things to explode. It's kind of like the same thing, like when people complain about sci-fi films where there's explosions in space and sound effects in space. I was like, come on. Like, there are movies out there that do it really well where there's no sound effects in space, but it's a Star Trek film. It's a Star Wars film. You know, let's come on. You know, let's let the sound design live.
Yeah, you kind of have to let that go.
Right. Anyway, so he hits his head or does something. He's injured in some fashion.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't even necessarily have to deal with his brain, but he's knocked out.
Yeah,
he's
we'll hurt. Take it.
Yeah, we'll like medical. And something so massive happens where there's a surge. And this is before the mobile emitter. There's a surge in, like, maybe they're trying to steal the doctor. And so by trying to access their computers while trying to steal him, it put him in some sort of lock mode or safe mode or something like that where they don't even know how to overloads it and they don't even know how to access it or something like that. Tech.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, leave it up to the Okudas who know what they're doing with that.
And it gets to the point where they're like, okay, Tuvok is hurt. He only has a couple of days. Like, Kes can tell them that. Like, you know, Tuvok only has a couple of days.
Yeah.
There's a surgery, you know, like, you know, the doc would know more than I. And they're like, okay, well, our first priority is getting the doc online. And so Harry and B'Elanna, you know, they work what they can.
Right.
But then they're like, but then maybe they say, oh, I don't know if we're going to make this in time.
It's going to be risky, of course.
Right.
You've got to have the tension, like, oh, we're probably going to be able to get it done in 1.5 days, but we're going to cut it close.
I like that. Yeah. It's like, well, he's only got 24 hours. It's like, oh, well, we might only be able to get him up in 26 hours, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's say they have 48 and they can get it done in 36.
Yeah. Something like that.
And just enough time to allow for the operation to occur and happen successfully. Mm-hmm. But if anything goes wrong, this is going to be risky.
And knowing Janeway, she would probably want to pursue other areas before even relying on Kes. Well, she's like, do we need to seek out help from other cultures, like other friendly species in the area?
Okay.
Like, if this isn't going to happen, like if the doc's not going to come on board, if the doc's not going to come online, then maybe we need to seek out to see if there's other advanced friendly species out there within distance who could help us out. And they keep searching. But in the meantime, Janeway says, I need you to study up, Kes.
Yeah, just in case. And so Kes is suddenly overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I've never done a surgery before. I don't even know all of the protocols yet, and I don't, you know, much less know the procedure. But of course, she's going to step up, and she says, yes, Captain, I'm going to get right on it.
And so
she thinks she has probably 2 days to study up and learn how to do surgery. I mean, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Surgery, yeah.
no problem.
But I think even though Kes would, even though she would agree to do it, I think there would be hesitancy there. I think she'd be more hesitant at the beginning, saying, you know, Captain, I appreciate your faith in me, but I'm just learning this stuff. I'm just barely a nurse. And, you know, like maybe we need to, maybe I could be a last resort. You know, like maybe use me as a last resort.
Yes. Kind of well, yeah. Yeah, I think maybe that's how she approaches it, where she says, well, yeah, thank you, Captain, but I'm really not qualified to do this. And yeah, really, you shouldn't entrust me with this unless you absolutely have to. However, I will prepare as much as I can. And Janeway says, yeah, okay, that is all I ask of you for the moment. And in the meantime, maybe our B plot has to do with some aliens that are nearby.
Like negotiating with them or something like that.
Maybe.
To work on Tuvok or...
to maybe get some medical knowledge, see if there's anybody who knows more on Vulcan anatomy. Because, of course, people are going to know that in the Delta Quadrant. But, you know, like, maybe they're looking for a race that has advanced medical knowledge, like the Vidians, who could just go right in there and they've got the tools to say, oh, okay, this person has a blah, 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 blah. Well, this little scanner machine and go, whir, and then I can fix it. And maybe there's a race nearby where maybe they're really advanced scientists, but they don't know much more than that. You know, Neelix says, well, I know that the so-and-so are over here a few light years away. Maybe we could get to them in time.
I think that could be, like, we need to see Janeway exploring multiple options. And so we have option A, getting the doc online.
Mm-hmm.
We have option B, finding another doctor nearby who could help out. Option C, Kes. And I feel like, I like your idea of them going to Neelix and exploring, like, which race is nearby. Like Neelix says, okay, you have a few options, none of them good. And you only have enough time to do one of them. You can go, to this side of the galaxy. Like, you can go to race A, who are very technologically advanced, but may not be open to outsiders. Or you could go this direction to race B, who are very open to outsiders, but nowhere near as advanced scientifically or technology-wise. And so Jane was like, okay, well, do we potentially go to race A, where they could get the doc back online or find us a doctor, but they might slam the door in their face? Or do I go to race B, where they'll welcome us with open arms, but they might not be able to help us? You know, and so, you know, that maybe that's your dilemma. Maybe that's your B plot. Or maybe that's the A plot, and the B plot is really Kes trying to study and figure this out, if she's actually can do this. And she goes to this identity crisis, not identity crisis, but this moment of crisis of self-doubt. You know, I think those are your two stories back and forth. Like, you have the activity on the bridge, and then you have Kes's personal struggle on study and confidence.
I'm trying to think, Janeway's going to go to the race that has potentially the technology, even though they're going to be harder to work with.
I think you're right.
Now, why would they not want to help? In season one, they had Prime Factors, where the whole Prime Directive was turned on upside down, and they were not allowed to have technology that they themselves hadn't created, Voyager, that is. And so you kind of have that scenario already played out. Why are these people difficult to work with then?
Well, you have the standard Star Trek answers. Xenophobia.
Yeah.
They just plain don't like outsiders, or they had a bad experience, like those other people where the Borg messed with them. And so they just don't like anybody, and they close their borders. Or they have their own Prime Directive that they have to deal with, like you just mentioned. I think you hit it on the head that's totally what Janeway would do. Is that, yes, like, she's like, I don't care if they hate us. They have what I need. And so I'm going to convince them using my rhetoric and my bun of steel in order to get what I want.
Yes. Well, she has to try, because this is Tuvok we're talking about.
I didn't even think about that. Like, the struggle with Janeway about trying to save Tuvok. That's another added aspect to it.
I mean, just even with the personal relationship aside, we're talking about a senior officer. And so she's got to go the distance to do whatever she can to try and save Tuvok's life. But of course, deep down inside, she can't lose him.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. She can't lose Tuvok. She can't lose her confidant, her friend.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it should be a mix of xenophobia and their own Prime Directive. I feel like they, like, because they're so scientifically advanced or technologically advanced, they kind of have the same relationship with outsiders that the Federation does, where, like, people less advanced than them always ask them for technology, and Janeway's like, oh, listen, we can't give you that stuff, you know, like, we cannot, you know, interfere or anything like that. But maybe they have their Prime Directive towards the nth degree, where they just have a blanket zero tolerance policy, where they're like, yeah, we have the stuff to help you, but you're not a member of our race or a member of our culture, so we're gonna say no.
That's kind of boring, and yet I don't know what else to do.
Oh, screw you!
Sorry, buddy. Well, I mean, the whole thing just with the Prime Directive that had just been done in Prime Factors, and the whole xenophobia thing happens a lot in Star Trek, so it's yet another race where that's happening again.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we add the twist at this point where, okay, not only do they refuse to help out and give technology, and they're not very friendly, but they also attack Voyager, and that is what leads to the absolute, you know, conclusion of, okay, the doctor is definitely not coming back online in a few hours. You know, it causes damage to the ship where part of the computer core is offline or something.
I like that idea, but I think we should tame it down a little bit. Where?
How so?
I don't think it should be all out assault. I don't think it should be like, oh, you know, we don't like your face, and so we're gonna battle you. I think they should ask, and then they say no, and they hang out. Like Voyager just doesn't leave.
Okay.
And then they keep asking, they keep petitioning members of the government, and then they say, listen, we said no, we're sorry that your crewman's hurt, but there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, now get the fudge out.
Yeah, like, you know, get out, you know, like, please leave, we're not going to ask you again. Janeway doesn't leave, and then they fire a couple of warning shots across their bow, and one of them is a lucky shot.
But yeah, or it's more powerful than they anticipate. You know, and then they kind of give you that dressing devil. Oh, you're more primitive than we even thought you were.
Yeah, something like that. Like it's much more holier than thou. We're like, we asked you to leave. You're not leaving. If you want worse damage done to your ship, stay here longer.
Yeah, like, see what happens.
And that's where Harry comes up and says, "Hey, you remember that last torpedo? Yeah. Well, the doc's not coming back until the next episode."
Right. Yeah. Damage to the tech. Blah blah blah. Yeah. You're totally screwed. Also, another plot twist, maybe this has to do with the whole medical database, somehow is attached to the doctor. So at this point, Kes has the knowledge that she has, even though she's been studying really hard, but she can't access any more than what is at the very end of that pad.
I think that's a bit too much.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, come on. Let's really make her sweat.
Yeah, I think that's adding a bit too much, where you're just kind of like, I think even the audience would go, really? is their luck really that bad?
Oh, okay, fine.
I think having the doctor out is enough.
Okay.
With Kes knowing, like, okay, there's no other doctor happening, and on top of that, there's no hope of the doc coming back, then that really is onto me. Then we have that conversation. That middle of the night conversation with Kes and Neelix in the mess hall.
I was thinking Janeway.
No, it's got to be Neelix.
Really? Okay, explain this to me, because I've got another idea.
I'll mention mine.
Yes.
And then you can mention yours, and we'll see which one's better.
Yeah.
And because Janeway and Kes would be a nice conversation, because Janeway's connected with Tuvok and Neelix isn't, so that's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Uh-huh.
Here's my initial thought. Neelix and Kes are together, and they have a few conversations here and there, and they even talk about having a child together, you know, in Elogium. But there weren't really that many heart-to-heart moments. I mean, there weren't really that many hand-in-hand. Did we even see them kiss?
On occasion. One instance that comes to mind is in the cloud, where they do have a conversation. And that's one of my favorite ones from Neelix, where he's just, yeah, let's have this really nice ship go into a nebula and tear it apart. They do have that discussion, and there is a kiss at the end of that scene. So there's one.
Okay, there's one. Okay, so it's like the most professional. Like, if you didn't tell me that they were together, then I wouldn't have been able to guess it. And so we'd have this intimate scene where the lights are off. She's studying on tons and tons and tons of pads, just mountains of pads in the mess hall. And Neelix is like, hey, I was looking for you. You know, like, what's going on? And she's like, I don't think I can do this, Neelix. I don't think I can do this. Like, when I left my world, I had no idea that this type of responsibility. I had no idea that a man's life would be in my hands. I thought I would just see new and interesting things. And then Neelix gives that his whole traveler's spiel about how, you know, like, we bring out that Neelix wisdom, where he says, he's like, you know what, when you travel, when you go to distant places and see different types of people, there's always a risk that you're not going to come back from it. There's always a risk that someone you love or you yourself are going to be hurt or damaged or discarded. And he says, that's the risk that we take. And maybe we could even have a throwback, you know, like with TOS, he's like, risk is our business.
Yeah, that's why we're aboard her.
Yeah, like that's he said, it's like, risk is our business. That's why we're on Voyager right now, because we want to know the unknown. And Tuvok knew that better than anybody else.
I like that. And then I think you also have to, I think another thing to interject with Neelix is, you know, since he is such a kind of jack of all trades, he would say, well, you can't expect the unexpected all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to have to improvise out here. You're going to have to think on your feet. You are going to be put in situations where you simply don't know what to do and you're going to have to do it on the fly and just hope it works. And maybe he tells her a little story about something he did one time, you know, some cheesy thing. And, you know, of course, everything turned out all right just because he believed in himself.
Right.
You know, that really corny kind of thing. But Ethan Phillips could make it come out like gold. So.
Yes.
You could do that. I think that beats out Janeway just because I like the idea of Neelix and Kes having a heart-to-heart conversation where, you know, he's trying to comfort her and she is listening and taking in everything that he's saying as just, you know, you're there for me and I appreciate your support and all that sort of a thing. Whereas with Janeway, I think maybe what you could do is they have a staff meeting right after we cut to commercial when, ooh, the doctor's offline. And then we have that roaring music and the close-up of Janeway deer in the headlights look like they do endlessly in season one. But anyway, then we come back and they have the staff meeting. And so their options are pretty slim. And so you have that kind of thing where it's all on Kes's shoulders now. And Janeway says, it's all on you. And we respect your decision, regardless of what you choose to do. You know, we understand that you are overwhelmed. We understand that you might not be prepared, but we need you. Yeah. What is your choice? And she says, I think Kes says at that moment, well, I have to try.
I think she has to try. She has to do it. Otherwise, if nothing happens, then he's definitely going to die.
Yeah, she wouldn't forgive herself if she just let him die like that. And so she's got to at least put in that effort, even though she's totally overwhelmed at the prospect of all that that means. The responsibility is weighing way heavily on her now.
Now, what if Jane, like, to get you some more Janeway and Kes moments, what if Janeway was in sickbay during the operation? Like, what if she was helping Kes out? Like, what if she was the assistant in some way? Would that alleviate any fears that you might have of Janeway Kes moments going to the wayside?
That could be interesting, but what does Janeway know about surgery?
There was a few times when Janeway was in sickbay and, like, she handed Doc a hypospray without him even asking, and it's kind of surprised him. That's the only reason why I bring that up.
Maybe with a scientist background, she has at least some basic medical knowledge to where she could maybe assist Kes. And maybe that's what she says is, hey, if you do this, I will assist you and I will help you as much as I possibly can. I will, you know, I'll hold your hand.
I'll be there every step of the way. You know, something like that, where she says that.
So,
let's do that.
Good bonding moment. We got some ladies in charge doing their thing. Okay, and so then I guess we go into the operation, right? Where, ready or not, I mean, we're down to the wire here. Tuvok only has a few hours left, and that's how long the procedure is going to take. We either do this or we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crunch time. And so we go through it, and blah, 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 blah.
It has its ups and, like, it's like every TV surgery, you know, it has its ups and downs. It starts off okay. Then all of a sudden there's a loud beeping noise and nobody knows what's going on. And then Kes is like,
what is totally, beep, beep, beep?
Yeah, beep, beep, beep. But Kes totally zones in and says, no, I got this. And she, you know, and she just,
like, ooh, maybe things do go awry a little bit because she's made a mistake, but she finds out, oh my gosh, okay, I missed something. I need to correct for this.
Right,
all right.
Right,
she catches her breath, and then, yeah, she kind of hits that zone. Like, we just feel her focusing, and then all of a sudden, okay, I know what to do from this point forward. I remember, and I can do this. And so she gets that self-confidence. Everything goes swimmingly, and at the end, maybe we have a cute little coda where Tuvok's recovering, and he's praising Kes, you know, thank you. I wouldn't be here without you. You're pretty darn amazing, Kes. And
then the doc comes online.
The doc comes online, and Kes says, Doctor, I have so much I need to tell you. And he's like, gosh, he sees Tuvok in the bio bed. And he's like, what have I missed here? But then Janeway is still there after the procedure. And so we have to have that nice tie-in moment where we wrap that up, where thank you so much for being with me. And we kind of solidify their bond just a little bit more, where I couldn't have done it without you. And Janeway said, it was all you, Kes. I was just in the room with you. I didn't really do a whole lot of anything. It was all you and bravo. But you have to have that said, I think.
Yeah, like there needs to be, like, you need to have the denouement. You need to have the falling action. And that's what happens is that she has the moment with Tuvok. She has the moment with Janeway.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything that you said. And then we have that comedic moment where B'Elanna and Harry, like, burst through the door. And they're like, everybody, we got the doc back online. It's like, well, it would have been useful a couple hours, like 15 minutes ago or something like that.
Does he just come online? Like, just zap. And then he looks around and, what in the world is going on here?
I think it needs to be prefaced by Harry and Bellona.
Okay.
But we have the tender moment, and then we have the comedic moment, and then it ends TOS style where they're all like, closing credits. No, I'm just kidding on that last part.
But thank God. No, I think you got to just fade out where Kes is like, you will not believe what happened while you were offline. Yeah. And she starts to tell him the story, and like they kind of walk into his office and fade to black and roll credits.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, we got a story.
We got a story. So that's the episode, folks.
Woo! We did it again.
We got to think of a title. We got to think of a title.
Oh, yeah, we do.
What if it's a riff off of Medical Emergency? Like, it's State the Nature. Like, it's called State the Nature, or because of, that's his phrase, like, State the Nature of the Medical Emergency. And
yeah, but that has a nice kind of, like, twisted play on everything that's happening here. So I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too, where it's, does Kes have it in her? You know, like, she has a very nurturing nature, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but I kind of like it. State the Nature.
Okay, I am all in favor.
Woohoo!
So that's it. Woohoo!
There you go, people. That is our episode. That is our Kes episode of the week, where she rises above and beyond, performs surgery, saves the day without the doc, and the episode is titled State the Nature.
Well, writing episodes that we'll never, ever get to see on screen is not the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM. Here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
So I just stopped, watched it, and just cried like a child. It was such an emotional impact. I was wrecked.
Earl Grey.
You know, what the clubs and the meetings and the podcasts, you know, all really comes down to is just finding and talking and being around other people who enjoy something that you really enjoy.
The Orb.
This year, opening for 5-year mission is Del Rock.
Del Rock.
Del Rock. They'll rock your world, Bajoran style.
The Ready Room.
I do like that he just drops out of the sky naked. That is the perfect way to introduce Q. And then just before we cut to the credits, they get this great shot of him looking up at Picard, and he's like, hey, what up?
To the journey!
My question is, what would Janeway have in place of banana pancakes? Because that's B'Elanna's thing. Would Janeway's be coffee ice cream?
I was just about to say coffee ice cream.
Score!
My lips were forming the syllables to say coffee ice cream. Warp 5.
I remember watching Broken Bow when Enterprise first debuted when I was in high school. I remember revisiting it now in full, and I had forgotten the fact that Future Guy had actually played an integral role from the get-go with Silic and the Sulaban, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
I know that both of us will come out of it okay, but since Matthew is not used to sparring with either of us, I'm afraid that he's going to be a bloody mess lying on the floor of the 602 Club.
The 602 Club.
They're playing God with fossilized mosquitoes as if, you know, they have the right to do this. Like, they have the knowledge to do this, you know, that they can control any kind of species that they have absolutely no knowledge of.
Literary Treks.
Yeah, this happened to her at 22 when she was on Ryan's Hope, and it was at its peak. It had a big following, and it was not your typical run-of-the-mill soap opera either. I mean, Claire Levine, the writer of the show, was doing some very different things.
Axanar, the official podcast.
I tried different action figures. I tried Black Widow. I tried the Black Widow from the Hot Toys Black Widow. Too small. It wouldn't work with the other action. Yeah, it didn't photograph quite.
But tell everyone why you're photographing action figure.
And introducing the newest addition to the network, Women at Warp.
Also, you think Kirk would be happier about kissing himself.
Right?
It was his lifelong ambition.
Yeah. I don't know. I more feel like it's his lifelong ambition to kiss Spock, but maybe that's just me.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available on any kind of platform you could possibly think of where you get your podcasts. If you are on iTunes, we would appreciate a subscribe and a review if you haven't done so already. That helps us out with the rankings and helps people find us. More people, the merrier. None of these shows, none of them are possible without the help of our sponsors. So let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Also, if you can help support this show financially, we would really appreciate your help on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm, and what we've got set up is various levels of contribution, and it happens on a monthly basis, and depending on the amount that you give justifies what kind of perks that you get. And we have some associate producers to thank for supporting To the Journey in particular. And those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, and Aaron Harvey. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at GeekFilter. Now, next week, what are we doing?
Next week, I'm really excited because we're stealing a show idea. That's right. We're stealing a show idea from some friends of ours over at Standard Orbit, where we evaluate each episode by season, and we decide if we keep them as essential to watch or we dump them as nothing, and we erase them from history. Yeah, we separate the wheat from the chaff on this. It's going to be a lot of fun because we're going to start with season one and go through all 16 episodes of season one, and Char and I are going to say yay or nay, and when we disagree with each other, we're going to have to justify said decision.
And pick a winner,
but you'll have to tune in next week to hear it.
That's right. And so until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!